Good morning. Our scripture this morning is Psalm chapter 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Good morning, Ebenezer friends and family. I hope you've enjoyed the service so far. Great. Okay. Our speaker today is a member of Sweet Home Pinnacle of Praise in Round Rock, Texas, where my family, the Oregons, are deeply rooted. Women rooted in God's word, love, and faithfulness. Our speaker is one of those women. Our distinguished speaker is a shining example of love and faithfulness. She's a devoted mother, a caring sister, a loving friend, and an inspiring leader. Her commitment to both her church and her community is nothing short of exemplary. Her positive personality is a beacon of light, attracting and uplifting everyone around her. In every aspect of her life, she demonstrates the power of grace and grace of a woman deeply rooted in God's word. Her actions, words, and deeds are a testament of her unwavering faith and her dedication to living a life that honors God. Please help me welcome this dynamic, devastating, distinguished woman of God and president of the Austin Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, Ms. Robin Blackman. Thank you.
Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning to the head of this church, Pastor Ricky Freeman, the church leadership, its members, and the guests who are here today for this 80th Women's Day celebration. And I must recognize my sisters of Delta Sigma Theta and all my families and friends who are celebrating with us today and supporting me. And I have to acknowledge, and I'm going to make him stand up, my son. This is my son, Jefferson Blackman. He's a recent college graduate. Yes. Very proud of him. And my daughter, who wasn't able to be with us today, she had to work. But she sat with me last night and listened to me go over my speech. And she texted me this morning and she said, I'm not there with you, but I'll be there in spirit. And she loves me. Join me for just a minute in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day, one that we've never seen before. We thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning from our sleep. Lord, we thank you for this church and for 149 years of service to this community and beyond. Lord, we thank you for the women of this church, the 15 who started this church and laid the foundation, Father God, for what Ebenezer is today. Lord, in this hour, I ask that you would humble me, allow Robin to sit down, Lord God, and you stand up in me and speak through me with the word that you have given me. Forgive me for my sins, Lord God, and my shortcomings, but I ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I received the phone call, and then the voicemail, and then the email, inviting me to speak today, I was at a loss for words. And if those of you know me, you know that's not often. And I was talking to Sister Polly Street. Where is she sitting? Here she is, right here. Sister Street, and I said, now, you do know we have two, not one, but two ministers in our chapter who could gladly do this. And she laughed and she said, I know, in that soft voice, you can do this. So I said, okay, I will. How do you tell her no, right? So as I continued to think about it, I reflected on a conversation I had back in January with the late Sister Jeffrey Archer during her illness. I would call and check on her, see how she was doing, encourage her in that time, and then I would pray with her. And in one of those conversations, in the voice that only Jeffrey Archer can give us, she said, "Sarah, President, you're going to be a preacher." I said, "Oh, no." And she gave that hearty Jeffrey Archer laugh that only she could give. So after I was asked to join you all today at her church, I said, I see Jeffrey Archer got jokes. So I'm sure she's getting a kick out of this right about now. So as we deal with the theme that the church, that the women, for this Women's Day today, I want to take us back, and I know we just read Psalms 100, verse 5. But I want to take a moment and read that full passage, because I think it takes the passage to really illuminate the story of verse 5. So if you want to find it in your Bibles real quickly. A psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And then verse 5 reads, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness," and I'll say that again, "his faithfulness continues through all generations." We're going to pause and just tag this message today: her faith, his faithfulness. See, in Psalms 101 through 4, it starts off with an action for us. We've got to shout. We got to worship. We need to know. We need to enter. But in verse 5, after we have shouted and we have worshiped and we've known and we've entered, it says, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever." His faithfulness, and I have to keep reiterating that, his faithfulness continues through all generations. Verses 1 through 4 is about our faith. It's an action based on a belief and a trust in God based on evidence, but without that total proof. His faithfulness means him remaining unfailingly loyal to us, and putting that loyalty into consistent practice, regardless of extenuating circumstances. So in, basic language, no matter who you and I are, no matter what you and I do, his faithfulness is unwavering for us. So I grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I was raised up in the church, as we like to say, at Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. Now, I've often heard some good church folks speak of remembering their moment that they came to Christ, and sometimes it's really elaborate. That's not really my story. My story is, how many of you all are familiar with VBS, Vacation Bible School, right? So, as always, I attended Vacation Bible School every summer, and most Vacation Bible Schools either went for a week or maybe 2 weeks. And so as you were learning throughout that time, at some point as we were coming to a close of Vacation Bible School, they had all of the children somewhere around about a certain age, and I'm going to say somewhere between 10 and 12. I think that was the age that we hear in the Baptist Church is the age of accountability, that you kind of should understand what you're doing. And they'd have us sit somewhere on the front row in this room, and they would begin to talk to us about Jesus and who he was, and reiterating what we had learned over our time during Vacation Bible School. And by the time they finished talking to you, you may have been in tears or you were scared to death, so you got up and you walked up there and said, okay, I'm going to get baptized. By your laughter, I'm sure you all are familiar with what I'm talking about. Well, that's how I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And at that point, I had what I like to call a Christ-like, a childlike faith. I was a child. I did what the elders told me to do. See, my parents took to heart what Proverbs 22:6 said. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it. This training was going to Sunday school, going to church, singing in the choir, going to BTU, participating in the various programs. I was always on program, speaking or saying something. If it wasn't nothing but Jesus wept. Yes, every time the doors of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church opened up, the Whitley children were there, whether we wanted to be or not. But what we didn't realize at that time is that our parents were setting us up for a life of faith that we couldn't really understand at that time, or really even know how to exercise our faith. But it was just enough to get us through that stage in life, childlike faith. I had an opportunity to witness this childlike faith when my daughter was about 11 years old. She's been doing some singing and music and acting a little bit from school. But she was entering her first summer in the City of Austin Broadway Bound program. And the day we went to the introduction, the director of the program said to the parents and the children, now, we know we have some new campers with us, and we're going to make sure that all of the kids have an opportunity to be a part of the production. But we want our first-year campers to understand you will not be getting a leading role. Okay, so I heard that, and my daughter heard that. So on the morning of the auditions, and I'm dropping her off at the Carver Library, I said, so, Jaden, what did you decide that you were going to audition for? And very confidently she said to me, oh, Annie or Mrs. Hannigan. Yeah, they were doing Annie, the Broadway show Annie. Now, you know and I know, Annie and Miss Hannigan are lead roles. And I began to say, well, Jaden, did you hear? She stopped me in the middle of my sentence, and she said, yes. I said, all right, then. Well, go kill them dead, all right? And I left it at that, right? Because what I realized at that moment, that her childlike faith said, it didn't matter what the director said. She was going to audition for Annie or Miss Hannigan. Well, her childlike faith got her the role of Annie. She was the leading actress in that play and did an amazing job. You see, train up a child the way they should go, and when they grow old, they won't depart from it. Childlike faith, her faith, his faithfulness. Now, I need to tell you something. Faith is a journey. It's not a destination. You're not going to just walk to it one day. Oh, I'm there. I got it. That's not how it works. It's a journey. So as life continues, we move into what I call growing up faith. So now we got our childlike faith, and now we're going to be growing up a little bit in our faith. I won't put an age on this because our journeys are all different, and these phases can come at different times in our life, and our experiences can be different that shape and grow our faith. So I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Ruth and Naomi. I'll just give you a little synopsis. Naomi was married. She had two sons. Her husband died. She raised her sons. They married, and then they died. And then Naomi was there with her two daughters-in-law. Naomi understood that she was a woman of age that would never have any more children. She wasn't going to bear any more children that she could give them a husband. And even if she did, they would be young and they would be older Were they going to wait on him? So she urged them to return to their families. Well, they were saddened by that, and both of them wanted to stay. But she continued to urge them to go. Go back to your families. I have nothing here for you is basically what she was saying. I can't do anything for you. Eventually, one of them left. But Ruth clung tight to her mother-in-law, and she was going to stay there with her. Ruth 1:16 and 18 reads, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me.'" This is serious. Like, she's putting her life on the line. "May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. She said, "Okay, I give up." Now, let me just stop for a minute. Either Ruth really loved Naomi, or she was crazy. Because I don't know any modern day women that would have made the sacrifice that Ruth is about to make for Naomi. But in my spiritual imagination, I have to believe that she had a growing up faith. See, she had lost her husband, and now what she was about to do was sentence herself to taking care of an old woman. All she was her mother-in-law. Wasn't a mama, wasn't a grandmother. She was going to take care of this old woman. Not knowing what they were going to do, where they would go, and what would become of them. But Ruth had to be thinking of God's promises, right? And his promises is that faithfulness that we're speaking of. Travel with me over to Deuteronomy 31:6. And maybe she was just thinking, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Or just maybe she heard Isaiah saying in chapter 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." No, maybe, just maybe she heard Jeremiah. Verse 29, chapter 29, verse 11, where he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's what she had rested her faith in. See, Ruth at this time, she's growing up in her faith, and she was assured that God had plans to prosper her through honoring her mother-in-law. God had plans to prosper her and not harm her. He will provide. As we all know how the story ended, Ruth was committed to Naomi, and she obeyed her. And by obeying Naomi, God's faithfulness was fulfilled through Boaz. Her faith, his faithfulness. So as we continue on this journey of life, we experience a lot. And our faith grows not because of us, but because through the years, we bear witness to God's faithfulness in our lives. Think about it for a moment. I'm sure you can think of some times in your life where he bore that witness. We experience natural disasters that devastate our lives. I can still remember where I was when September 11th happened. here in Austin. I was at my apartment headed to work. And someone called and said, turn the TV on. Did you see that? It was like something unbelievable. Devastation. Being a South Louisiana girl, I can remember Hurricane Katrina. And I'm sitting there. My daughter was a baby then. I just had her in May, and this was August. And I'm laying in the bed, need to be resting, and I'm thinking, Lord, I probably know somebody out there. And I'm looking at the devastation that we see. We've experienced losses of jobs. You know, we've been in a pandemic. A lot of things have happened. People have lost their jobs unspoken. We experienced disappointments on the job. I should have gotten that promotion. They didn't give me the raise. You know, we're those people. And then, yes, we experienced the loss of life. Close friends, family, loved ones. This season of our life, I'm going to call this our grown-up faith. So we got childlike faith. We've been growing up in our faith. Now we grown-up faith. Often I found myself sometimes, and I'm sure you all have too, and you can see somebody going through something, and you know what they're dealing with. And I say to myself, I just don't know if I could do that. I don't know how he or she or they are bearing this thing, because it looks bad. That is this season where the scriptures we have studied, the words and the hymns we've sang, and the prayers that we've prayed, now faith is really put to test. You know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Or maybe it's all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Or just maybe your song is, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Whatever your song may be, now is the time you got to live the life of your song. You see, now we got to really demonstrate that little bitty mustard seed of faith that began in our childlike faith, matured in our growing up faith, will now sustain us in our grown up faith. My parents had three children. I'm the middle of the three. But both of my siblings, they were living in Washington, D.C. My sister's now since retired and moved back to Baton Rouge. And at the time that I'm speaking of, I was living here in Austin. In 2017, as the school year was coming to a close, and as I had always done several years before, I contacted my mother to see if she was going to meet me in Beaumont. This was our halfway point between Austin and Baton Rouge, for my children to stay with her for the 2 weeks until their summer camp began. Out of the ordinary, she said, let me talk to your dad and see what we got going on. Strangely, she never really came back and said anything to me, and I didn't either. I thought it was weird or odd, but I didn't sweat it. Well, you know, parents sometimes think they're grown and can hide things from their children. And we have to switch roles from time to time, and we are watching you all. But even in that parent moment, right, parents never want to worry their kids. So My mother eventually told us that she had to have a small procedure. The doctor was going to do some exploratory procedure to kind of see what was going on with her. Now, we're none the wiser to this. Never once did she allude to the fact that she may be looking at a possible cancer issue. So since my dad was with her and her best friend and her goddaughter was there, my siblings and I all decided we would just stay put and see what was next. So thanks to cell phones, we were able to listen in to the doctor's report. And he started saying a lot of stuff at first, but then all I could hear was, there's cancer here, there's cancer here, there's cancer here, there's cancer here. Now I can't visualize that. That just sounded like a lot of cancer to me. You can imagine how my siblings and I were feeling on the other end of the phone, hearing this for the first time, because we were none the wiser. So now I had witnessed my mother's faith throughout my life. But this was different. Our family had never been faced with a major health issue such as this. Now, she never really verbalized her fear, but I can't imagine, even in our humanness, no matter how spiritual we are, there's got to be some fear in that conversation. So as a cancer diagnosis goes, she received her treatment plan and the journey began. She had a surgery. She had, you know, some major treatment points, and we all traveled home, rotated, going to be with her and my father during that time. But fast forward to about August 2019, she began to experience some complications that resulted in her going in and out of the hospital, at which time we began to go home a little more to see about her. And I got to tell you, I'll be honest with you, and I don't know if it was my naivety or just not dealing with reality, I never envisioned where this thing could go. I'm thinking we're dealing with this. So as we began to approach what seemed to be inevitable, I can recall a conversation with my sister. So we had been back and forth to the hospital. She said, Mama has a strong faith. I don't have faith like that. And I said to her, you do. You just haven't had to exercise it to that level. See, faith is like any other muscle in the body. You have to build up that level of strength to be able to understand how you exercise. So when I'm looking at people and seeing what they're going through and I can't deal with it, well, it wasn't mine to deal with. That's not where my faith was. So we had to begin to look at that. See, my mother had been through all of those phases of faith in her life. She had childlike faith. And she lost her mother at the age of 2 years old and was raised by her father and other family members until he remarried. She had growing up faith. She was a mother, she was a wife, and an educator. And as a leader in her community, she dealt with all of the things that come and challenges with life during that phase. And at the end of her life, looking death in the eyes, she demonstrated that the years of exercising that faith muscle gave her grown-up faith. I couldn't understand it and couldn't see it in that moment because it wasn't mine to have. She had assurance that the promises of God were true. She put her faith in God and believed his word was true and his faithfulness would see her through for generations to come. And while her words during this time were very few, I can imagine the passage that comforted her heart came from the 23rd Psalms. You all know it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He restoreth my soul. And he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. But surely, when we get to surely, there's some hope. But surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, she laid there in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That was her faith. But her faithfulness showed up in the last verse. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Because God gave us that promise all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, he did it for her. He'll do it for you and me and all of us. Surely, just remember, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of her life. Her faith, his faithfulness. So we had a childlike faith. We had a growing up faith. And now we got a grown faith. Where are you in your faith? Because see, it may not always be about age. It may be about where you've grown and matured in the Word of God and your experiences in life and what it's brought to you. Her faith, his faithfulness. And as I bring it to a close and I reflect on this Women's Day theme, women rooted in God's word, love, and faithfulness from the past, in the present, and for tomorrow. Generations of faith has brought Ebenezer to and through 149 years in this community and beyond. As you count down to 150 years, the church of the past had women of faith who believed in God's faithfulness to establish the foundation of this church. They just told us that on the video that we watched. And I had this already written down. That's how God works. In the present, there are women who continue to stand on the shoulders of the women of faith from the past to sustain this church. But as we look for a brighter tomorrow, it will take childlike faith, growing up faith, and grown faith to experience his continued faithfulness as Ebenezer meets his mission to develop Christ-like persons through life-changing experiences, worship, study, teaching, fellowship, evangelism, and service. The future is bright. Faith is a journey, and it is through this journey that we all grow closer to God and experience his incredible love, his power, and his faithfulness. As we embrace faith, let us remember that God is always, always with us, guiding us and sustaining us. Let us live out our faith with strength, courage, and love, knowing that with God, all things are possible. May you be encouraged and uplifted in your faith today. Trust in God and on his promises, and let your life be a testament to his goodness and faithfulness. Her faith, his faithfulness. God bless you.